So this is just one experiment that we published a few years ago, where a monkey, without moving its body, learned to control the movements of an avatar arm, a virtual arm that doesn't exist. What you're listening is the sound of the brain of this monkey as it explores three different visually identical spheres on virtual space. And to get a reward, a drop of orange juice that monkeys love, this animal has to detect, select one of these objects by touching. Not by seeing it, by touching, because every time this virtual hand touches one of the objects, an electrical pulse goes back to the brain of the animal describing the fine texture of the surface of this object so that the animal can judge what is the correct object that it has to grab. And if it does that, it gets a reward without moving a muscle. The perfect Brazilian lunch, not moving a muscle and getting your orange juice. So, as we saw this happening, we actually came and proposed the idea that we had published 15 years ago. We reenact this paper, we got it out of the drawers, and we proposed that perhaps we could get a human being that is paralyzed to actually use a brain-machine interface to regain mobility. The idea was that if you suffer, and that can happen to any one of us, let me tell you, it's very subtle. It's a millisecond of a collision in a car accident that transforms your life completely. If you have a complete lesion of the spinal cord, you cannot move because your brainstorms cannot reach your muscles. However, your brainstorms continue to be generated in your heads. Paraplegic, quadriplegic patients dream about moving every night. They have that inside the head. The problem is how to get that code out of it and make the movement be created again. So what we proposed was, let's create a new body. Let's create a robotic vest. And that's exactly why Giuliano could kick that ball, just by thinking, because he was wearing the first brain control robotic vest that can be used by paraplegic, quadriplegic patients to move and to regain feedback. That was the original idea 15 years ago. What I'm going to show you is how 156 people from 25 countries all over the five continents of this beautiful earth dropped their lives, dropped their patents, dropped their dogs, wives, kids, school, jobs, and congregated to come to Brazil for 18 months to actually get this done. Because when we heard, a couple of years after Brazil was awarded the World Cup, we heard that the Brazilian government wanted to do something meaningful in the opening ceremony in the country that reinvented and perfected soccer until we met the Germans, of course. But that's a different talk, and a different neuroscientist needs to talk about that. But what Brazil wanted to do is to showcase a completely different country, a country that values science and technology and can give a gift to millions, 25 million people around the world that cannot move any longer because of a spinal cord injury. Well, we went to the Brazilian government, to FIFA, and proposed, well, let's have the kickoff of the 2014 World Cup be given by a Brazilian paraplegic using a brain control exoskeleton that allows him to kick the ball and to feel the contact with the ball. They look at us, thought that we're completely nuts, and said, okay, let's try. We had 18 months to do everything from zero, from scratch. We had no exoskeleton, we had no patients, we had nothing done. These people came all together, and in 18 months, we got 8 patients in a routine of training, and basically built from nothing this guy that we call Brazil Santos Dumont 1. The first brain control exoskeleton to be built was named after the most famous Brazilian scientist ever, Alberto Santos Dumont, who in 19 of October 1901 created and flew himself the first control airship on air in Paris for a million people to see. Sorry, my American friends, I live in North Carolina, but it was 2 years before the Wright brothers flew on the coast of North Carolina.